In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The theme of this week of Lent is about the Good Shepherd. The second of the two readings that we've just had from the Gospels was a reading from the Gospel according to St. John. And we heard Christ saying that He is the door, that He is the Good Shepherd, that He cares about the sheep, and that hirelings might come, thieves come to steal and destroy, but care nothing for the sheep. That reading is read because this Sunday we hear about and sing hymns about St. Gregory Palamas, the Archbishop of Thessalonica, who defended the Orthodox faith against a new teaching, a new theology that had not been taught, not as clearly and specifically, at least, ever before. There was a man by the name of Barlaam who came from southern Italy, and he was a scholar. He knew Aristotle, and he knew the teaching that Thomas Aquinas had taught. And he contradicted the spiritual lives of the monks of Mount Athos and all of those who followed the counsel of the monastic elders of the Orthodox East. He said that it is not possible to see God in this world. God is beyond us, utterly beyond this world. And the grace that He sends to us comes from outside of us, outside of this world, from beyond. We are fallen sinners. That is our nature. There is nothing we can do about that except to accept the grace of God, which we can't share in, we can't participate in, we can only accept it. And if we accept it, then we will be saved from damnation. That was the new spiritual teaching. It became the spiritual teaching of the Roman Catholic Church and all of the Reformed churches. And St. Gregory Palamas, the Good Shepherd, who defended against Barlaam, who was like the thief that Christ is talking about, who had come to destroy what? Destroy the possibility of salvation as something that we participate in. Salvation as something that gives our lives meaning day by day. Not a Christian faith that turns us over to this world and only saves us at the nick of time in the end, and leaves us at the mercy of our passions. The old theology, the original teaching and doctrine of the Christian faith, was quite different. Usually when we hear about St. Gregory Palamas, we hear about his defense of the monks, we hear about his defense of their experience of the divine and uncreated light, but we don't get the understanding that it has anything to do very much with us. We may have heard that he claimed that the divine energies of God Himself are present throughout the world. Not God as He ultimately is, beyond this world, but God present, active in energies that sustain all of the things of His creation. The West had the idea that if you admitted that, you were accepting some kind of pantheism. The God and the world were the same. And so they had their logical problems. They were all rooted in too much Aristotle, not enough Christian common sense. But what has it got to do with us, the uncreated light, the divine energies present in the world? I remember many years ago now, before my conversion to the Orthodox Christian faith, I read a lot of books about spirituality, as I see people do today. But eventually I was able to find that there had been, and still was, an Orthodox Christian faith that had survived outside of everything that I had been taught in college, in philosophy classes and religion classes about the Christian faith. And I became a convert to the Orthodox faith, and I was interested more than anything else about the spiritual life. There weren't nearly as many books available to read in those days, just a few. And so I read all that I could find, and eventually I got a set of the four-volume teaching of the Orthodox faith given by Father Thomas Hopko. We call it the Rainbow Series now because each book is, it's a tall, skinny book, set of books. And the fourth book in the set was the Green Book, and it was entitled Spirituality. That's the one I wanted to read. But I was a good student, and I read the first one first, Doctrines. And I read the book on the Bible, and I read the book on the history. And then I was ready for that fourth book, the Green Book, the one on spirituality. I was careful not to open it until I was ready, because I had read all the other three. I cannot tell you how crestfallen and disappointed I was to open up that book and find out that it was all about virtues. Virtues? The spiritual books I had read were enthralling. They were esoteric, filled with hidden knowledge, enticing. This was about virtues. Virtues and vices. And it said clearly right at the beginning, the basic themes in the Christian life are prayer, fasting, repentance, virtues, and witnessing, and finally, communion with God. But it begins with prayer and fasting, and all of that focus on virtues. It was very, very disappointing. It was, in fact, exactly the opposite of the kind of spirituality that I was hoping to find in, of all places, the Orthodox Church. It took a long time and a lot of faithfulness before things began to come together, and I began to understand what the faith that Gregory Palamas had defended against the West had to do with spirituality as the Orthodox understand it, focused on an ascetical rejection of our vices, coming to the point that we could share the virtue of Christ, not our own virtue. That was what Gregory was claiming is possible. It is possible for us to be involved directly by our spiritual effort in the divine nature of God the Father himself. Christ had come and made that available to us by taking on our flesh, by becoming one of us. And if we repented of our belief in ourselves, that it's a matter of, because this is what you could have thought, reading that book or opening that book and not understanding it, the book about virtues. I have to be virtuous. I have to try to be good. That's not the message. The message is that we have to repent of trying to be good by relying on ourselves. That's what we have to do. We have to gain humility. We have to realize that our effort to be like God without first putting an end to our desires for the things of this world, that's what's got to end. We are enslaved to our passions, and that's our difficulty. We are controlled by them. And while we are still enslaved with our passions, if we try to be good, if we try to be better, we're going to fail again and again. According to St. Gregory Palamas, there are natural passions and there are unnatural passions. And we are enslaved to unnatural passions. It is unnatural for us to desire to try to fulfill ourselves spiritually by eating a hamburger, or to fulfill ourselves spiritually by consuming another person, taking away their pride and gaining pride of our own. That's unnatural. It's unnatural to build ourselves up at the expense of others. It's unnatural for a human being to try to live from this world as though this world were the ultimate source of life. That is unnatural. And we have to fight against our being controlled and dominated by our unnatural passions. And what is the alternative? In every case, for every vice, there is a virtue that is opposite and has to do with our love of God. The proper function of passion, St. Gregory Palamas teaches, is to be a desire for God, an ever-increasing desire for God. You know, there are religions in the world, like Buddhism, that say that the problem is our desires, and we have to put an end to our desire and be passionless. Have no passion, no desire. That's not what the Orthodox Christian faith teaches. There is natural desire. It is natural for a human being who is created by God in His image and likeness, that's who we are, to desire God. To desire God more and more. And as we desire Him, it enables us to reject our unnatural passions and our domination by our vices, our unnatural preference for things of the world, for ourselves in a deluded way, and we begin to change. And living that life is our salvation. Christ came and made it possible for us to live that life, for us to live a life on a daily basis of salvation, on a daily basis of finding the joy of not being dominated by our passions, but in every case, seeing that those passions for the things of this world and our lust to fulfill ourselves in separation from God is unnatural, and by our desire for God and to have His love and to be able to give His love to others so that we can love others as God loves us, that is where the joy lies. Now, Balaam would say, all of this is impossible. All of it is impossible. We cannot participate in that way in our own salvation. All we can do is accept the fact that Christ came, sacrificed Himself for us. It's a gift. There's nothing we can do. We are sinners. We are damned. We can accept His sacrifice, and we are saved. And how do we live the rest of our lives? Well, with hope that after we die, it will be better. But right now, we cannot have a daily participation in our own salvation. That is what Balaam came and stole. It took that faith away from the West. It was not passed on in the West, but we have found it. This is our faith. We know that it is possible for us to have the joy of desiring beyond the passions that control us. We know that it is possible to break those passions and their hold over us. We are not monks of Mount Athos. We may not reach such a perfect communion with God that the uncreated light shines from us, because we have reached that point where our love of God is so great and our humility is so deep that the passions have been destroyed in us. But we know that such a thing is possible, and we know that we are on the same path that they are on, and we know that this is a constant source of hope and joy in our own lives as we refuse to be dominated by our passions. And so we enter into, once a year, this great Lenten effort, this school of repentance, where we learn these truths of the faith so that they can sustain us, remembering this is the meaning of being a Christian, to be free of domination by passion, to be free to love others as God loves us, not with a selfish love that uses and controls, but with a love that makes us free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.